حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد, our subject that we are speaking about is how the obligations that Allah has given us, all the obligations, whether it's in the form of positive like wajibat, or whether either in the form of negative like muharramat, things that are haram, all of these things, how can they become easy for us? Because in essence they are difficult. No one can say that this is easy or this is something that's, you know, enjoyable or pleasurable. How is it that they become enjoyable for us to do? How is it that we can make prayers enjoyable for us to do? We went through two reasons how Allah made the obligations pleasurable for us. The first reason was that the one who's calling towards these obligations himself is so sweet and himself is so good that the hardship of obligation goes away by the invitation of such a sweet person. Second thing is the rewards that Allah has put behind each thing. Allah has put a reward behind each thing, and hence that reward is something that makes our obligations enjoyable for us or doable for us. The third reason why or how prayers or obligations are made enjoyable for us, the third reason is the adhab of Allah, the punishment of Allah, hellfire. I'll take a few minutes to speak about hellfire and the adhab that Allah has, the punishment that Allah has in store. So, what does this do to us? First of all, the effect it has on us. Why is it that Allah speaks about hell, hellfire, and warns us, threatens us, scares us in order to believe in the hellfire, and that if you don't do something right or if you do something wrong that you're going to go to hell? Why is that? Reason, my friends, is that because, you see, the effects of fear is like, if the fear is a fear of someone who is an oppressor, then the fear would be a fear of loss. But if the fear is the fear of someone who is compassionate and loving and merciful, then the fear is different. It's like, for example, when you tell your children, don't do this, otherwise I'll get angry. So obviously, you say that to them for what reason? What do you say that to them for? You say that to them so that they don't go near it. But you know that if they do, you will do your best to get them out of it. And the next thing is that when you scare your child, for example, if your child is scared, when he's scared, what does he do? When he's feared, what does he do? He comes to you and he comes into your embrace and hugs you. He comes to you and he hugs you out of fear. Allah, in the intended effect of adhab, the intended effect of hellfire, is that we go and cling to Allah out of fear. That's the intended effect. Why the adhab is there? Why all this word of adhab? But the fact is that a lot of times, just like Jannah, as I said, heaven, as I said yesterday, we take for granted. Hellfire, we think is, you know, like a our like oven or stove, you know, when you look at fire, you know, oven and stove, this is hellfire. So let me just say a few things regarding that so that we can have a true understanding of what is this azab. I don't want to make you lose hope. I want to give you some hope. But first of all, I want to make you hopeless and lose hope. If you give me a few minutes. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
You know, we all depend on the Shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt. You know, the Shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt is going to come for believers, but it will come late. It'll come late. You'll have to face death yourself. You'll have to go in the grave yourself. You'll have to face the grave yourself. The Shafa'at of Ahlul Bayt is coming, and they said in the hereafter. But we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam that our Shafa'at is there in the hereafter in the day of judgment. But in Barzakh, you're on your own. You're on your own in Barzakh. So you have to understand that yes, that will be there. That is a relief. That is a big savior. That is a salvation. But when we go to the grave, we are alone when we go to the grave. What will happen in the grave, you will be alone. A companion of the Prophet. In the later battles of the Prophet, became injured. His main artery in his hand was cut. It's one of those injuries that when the main artery is cut, usually you just bleed to death. He was in that tent where the injured are in the army. The Prophet came to visit him, you know, and he was unconscious. His Sahaba was unconscious, companion. And Rasulullah prayed for him. He said, Ya Allah, this is my companion, have mercy on him. He's my dear friend, my dear companion, have mercy on him. The companion opened his eyes. He opened his eyes, looked at the Prophet, smiled, and heard the Prophet make this dua, and he also made a dua to Allah and said, Allah, if this is not the last battle of the Prophet, if he has more battles to fight, if he has more jihads to wage, then Allah keep me alive so I can fight for him. And if this is the last one, then Allah make me shaheed so I can come to you as a shaheed and as a martyr. And it usually was that really, after that there was no battle. After that there was no battle the Prophet was involved in, and Allah made him shaheed at that time. He became shaheed in the war, in the battlefield. He became shaheed. And when we see that Rasulullah heard that he became shaheed, they saw that Rasulullah was running. He was running. And everyone was looking at Rasulullah running. They said, well, why are you running for? Where are you running? He said, my friend has gone. My friend has passed away. My dear friend has passed away. He was crying and running. He went there and he went to person, gave him gifts, everything, and made the arrangements for the funeral, put him in the grave, put the dirt in the grave. And when the grave was done, at first he said, Allahu Akbar, shouted out, Allahu Akbar. Then he shouted out, Subhanallah. And everyone was like, is this a sunnah to say this? Is this the way that we should do it also? If someone is in the grave, at first we say Allahu Akbar and then we say Subhanallah. Ya Rasulullah, why did you say that? Why did you say Allahu Akbar and then you said Subhanallah? Is this mustahab? We should do it on all the graves? Rasulullah said no. Then why did you say Allahu Akbar? It's because when I closed the grave, I saw the grave caving in on him and compressing him in such a way that if it was anyone else other than him, it would have destroyed him. Would have destroyed him. Such a person who died for Islam, became shaheed, and the grave crunched him. The Yahshua did not mean. And then when it gave its way and let him go, then he said, Subhanallah. So, you will ask, why did this happen? Why did this happen to this person? I mean, he was so good and this night he became shaheed. Well, for him, it's because he had bad akhlaq with his children. His etiquette and manners with his children were bad. He used to get angry at them and make faces at them and beat them up. That's why Allah is crunching him and destroying his bones in his grave. Even though he died for Allah. He deserves that. My friends, understand this. This is, you're in the grave, you're alone. It's not the meanies. You know, I mean, there's no way to avoid it. The sins we have done, the wrong we have done, we have to pay for it. Are you ready for the grave to crunch your bones? I want to make this real for you, and I'm saying this to you. There's no way you can get out of it. Are you ready for it? There's no way out of it. There's no way. The only way is really hard. Really hard. Meaning that, are you really going to be pious? Are you really going to be a worshipper? Are you really going to be abid? Are you really going to stay away from sin? All of these things matter. And then you can say that, yes, that person, that grave will not touch him. But with the things that we have done in our lives, mistakes that we have made in our life, so what I'm saying is expect that that azab is coming on us. There's no way out. I'm sorry. There's no way out. That is coming on us. How are you going to, what are you going to do now when you know that's the case? What are you going to do when you know that is the case? That's going to happen to you. What are you going to do now? Think for a while. Reflect for a while. I said, I want to make you hopeless before I give you hope. I wanted to make you hopeless so that you understand what it means, my friend. It's not easy. It's not easy to avoid azab. It's not easy to avoid azab. Shalom. You see, reason this fear is there. And it's a real fear. And we should have this fear. Because what fear does is that it creates this love for Allah. Fear does is that it creates this love. The fear of Allah is what? Why did Allah put this image of hellfire in front of us? I mean, hell is in the hereafter. You should have left it there. Why do you have to mention it here in the Quran, this life? My friends, even though the hellfire is there, even though it's there, you don't have to face it. You don't have to deal with it if you take advantage of the hellfire in this dunya. Take the benefit of hell in this dunya. If you understand the reason that Allah put hell in front of you is so that you can get scared and run to the bosom of Allah and cling to Him and say, Allah, save me from that. That's why hellfire is there. When you can actually understand that, then you go and rush and say, Allah, please help me from there. Just look at Imam Ali, what he went through in the fear of Allah. Look in the masjid that he's praying. What kind of prayer is he making in the masjid? Why is he doing that? Because that fear is there of the hellfire, and you go cling to Allah and you say, Allah, you are my savior. Hellfire is real, my friends. Every dua that you read, what is that dua saying? All the dua of Laylatul Qadr, what are they saying? Every time they're saying what? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab. Right? Subhanaka ya la ilaha illa ant al-ghafur rabbana khallisna min an-nar. Understand this. What is this? Why are we asking this for? It's real. When we think of hellfire and azab, that's when we go running towards Allah and cling Him. We go This is real. Azab is real. You know, one day, Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, was crying. He just burst out crying. And not just, you know, the decent crying, right? Like the decent crying, you know, you have your hand over your face and you're crying, like in dua, you're crying. No, this is like a crying like a baby, an indecent crying. Just out loud, completely out of control. Completely out of control, his companions are there. He's in the masjid, he just burst out crying. And he was crying so loud, the companions got scared. He said, what's going on here? I mean, you know, it's one thing to cry, and you know, this thing, they never saw him doing like this. Why are you crying so hard? They didn't want to interfere, they didn't want to say anything, they didn't want to do anything, so what did they do? Salman, he said, I know a way. What is that way? He said, I know that the only thing, that no matter what situation Rasulullah is in, I know him very well. You know, because Salman was an older companion, very old. And also he had ma'rifat. He had ma'rifat. No doubt about it. He knew Rasulullah. He said, I know how to make him happy. At least I know how to get him out of this. He said, I know that whenever Rasulullah, whatever situation he is in, if he sees Fatima, he will smile. If he sees Fatima, he will smile. So the companion said, then go and get Fatima. So he went and knocked at the door of Fatima. Fatima answered back. Yes, Salman. He says, Dora, your father is crying. He's crying. And we want you to come so that he can see you and alleviate his grief, his sadness. Fatima came out of the house, you know, with her hijab and chadar that she had over her head. She came out of the house and greeted Salman. Just as a in between, as the riwayat says, right? When Salman saw her, he started to cry. Started to cry. Fatima said, Salman, why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said, you know, you are the daughter of our master and I'm crying because your chadar is ripped in so many places. I'm crying for your ripped chadar, this chadar that you have is ripped in so many places way over here. I'm crying because of that. Looking at that, you are the daughter of the king of all the kings. And this is your, he says, Fatima said, our happiness is in the akhirah, not here. We don't look for things here. And Fatima went forward. She came to Rasulullah. She came to Rasulullah and said, Father, why are you crying? When Rasulullah looked at her, he brushed off his tears. Looked at her and said that Allah has revealed ayat of adab, ayat of punishment, and the fear of that punishment has shaken my heart to such an extent that I'm crying. And when Fatima heard that, she also went into sajda and started to cry and said, woe unto that azab. Friends, the azab is real. The azab is real. Really, the azab is real. And I had wanted to make you and give you hope today, but because of the lack of time, I won't. So, this one day you have to live in despair until you find out how can we have hope in a situation which is so bleak. How can we have hope? In this situation that is so bleak, you know? Because Rasulullah, whenever he used to hear the azab of Allah, he used to cry. It's not something to joke about. It's not something that we take as a joke, my friend. It is real. And the only ones who were able to, you know, make him stop crying were Ahlul Bayt. One day when Rasulullah was crying, he was crying so hard that it was Hussein who came to him and he put his head chest. When Hussein put the head on his chest and said, "Grandfather, stop crying. Rasulullah, stop crying," because Jibreel came to him, and when Jibreel came and said that Allah wants you to stop crying, my messenger, Allah wants you to stop crying. He said, "Why does Allah want me to stop crying?" Because Allah knows that the azab is there and that you are afraid. Because he was crying, saying, "Wa ummati ummati, what will happen to my ummah? What will happen to my people? What will happen to them in that azab?" And then he was looking at those people because he can see those people in the azab and how they will be burned and how they will be away from the mercy of Allah. And when Hussein put his head on the chest of Rasulullah, you know, at that point Rasulullah said, you know what he said? He said, "I will stop crying," but Jibreel came to him with a promise and said, "Rasulullah, do not worry. Do not worry. Allah has kept this grandson of yours as an intercession for your
ummah."
Azab is real, my friends, but I want to explain what is behind this azab so you have hope. When you look at the hellfire, not become hopeless. Hopeless, yes, it is a hopeless situation. How do we get out of it, inshallah? Tomorrow I will explain that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Wisdom to understand, guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his proper one. Come to our Prophet Allah.